Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Hammy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 284 of The Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined by Brian Webb Russell as he gives me the State of the Union, the equity update. And we'll get into our conversation with Brian just after these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of The Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Bad credit? No credit? High-interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
Let's get right into it. What's the latest with the union? You get the State of the Union slot. So what's going on with equity this year?
Well, they finally settled on Executive Director Mary McCall, finally, which was an interesting choice, as she worked for lead producers earlier in her career. But at least according to, you know, the equity people, they said she was almost seemed more sympathetic in her negotiations to equity than she was ever to the league. I'll hopefully see that in, you know, next few negotiations coming up for like small professional theater and things like that.
Right.
But they're very settled. They're settled there. We just recently held elections again for president and other elections. All those, the ballots were finally finished up on the 23rd of this month. Mm-hmm. Big news for the East is that Rick Berg, the Eastern Regional Director, who came here 2 years ago to the liaison meeting here in Nashville, he'll be retiring at the end of this month as well. But of course, the big thing, obviously, is equity celebrating its 100th anniversary as a union, established in 1913. So the big plans are to get a big, huge celebration within the union for the next year. You know, getting all that out there, information out there about, you know, the whole centennial thing. They say here in Equity News, they're going to be kicking off events on the 5th of June coming up, and have a traveling exhibit and things like that. So kind of exciting stuff, at least for, you know, the executives there. Mm-hmm. The rest of us are still kind of assessing what the union's doing here. I myself am, but that's being, of course, the cynic that I usually am.
So, how has the union kind of, I have two questions. One, how is the union dealing with kind of this sentiment of anti-unionism that seems to be kind of poking its head up now and again?
They're just keeping their head low.
Yeah.
You know, it's the idea of if we don't make any kind of rise of stink about it, there that, you know, maybe they'll let equity go unscathed. I think one of the biggest things that's going to help us coming up is the fact that AG and SAG and AFTRA merged.
Right.
It's going to give them a bigger visibility, and it may help float our boat as well a little bit more. That would be my take. I've had, you know, just some really informal chats with the Nashville president here, Mike Montgomery. And he's talked about the fact that they want to now possibly go on and open up with us, open up talks about us coming into their fold which, you know, is kind of ironic since it was the other way around years and years and years ago.
Right.
Whenever SAG first started, and, you know, that they were wanting to get into equity, wanting to be a part of equity and equity, poo-poo the idea that they're just film actors. Well, you know, we see how that's changed over the years.
Right.
And now the fact that the two, SAG and AFTRA, have joined together, they really got a really powerful, I think, it was the smartest move they could make. I didn't see any benefits in not merging for them. Just the fact that that after it seemingly was getting a bulk of the contracts, while SAG still offered the better benefits, I think, you know, hopefully you've got the two, you know, the best of two worlds joining in there. Uh-huh. And taking over. And I'm hoping that's going to be the case for them. Mike, as I was saying before, was toy. He said they're thinking of the idea of bringing us along, mm-hmm. which would, I think it would be good in the long run. I just don't know how it would fit necessarily. I don't know what the, you know, what requirements would be. Would they then, you know, adapt to the equity as far as, say, for instance, health goes? Would they adapt to the equity 20 weeks of work, get you health insurance? Would they adapt to that, or would they continue on their own idea of earnings
right.
being the thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be a sticking point, right? Because it's not really comparable, is it?
That's true, because, you know, you can work 20 weeks, but your earnings may be, you know, you can go anywhere from 20 weeks of production work to 20 weeks of SPT, and there's a whole heck of a lot of difference in your pay grade there.
Right.
You know, production work, they just negotiated the contract, which is why equity feels a little bit better about things. They just renegotiated and ratified the latest production contract, which is the big contract, the Broadway contract. So they've got that down for another 3 years, so they'll probably be very content to just lay low and let all the other contracts follow their own, you know, follow their own way now.
Well, I mean,
but if you take the, you know, you take what a $1,400 plus or $1,600 plus a week salary, and compare it to something you get, you know, $325, $327 for a small professional theater, an SPT contract, there's a little bit of a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be probably a big discussion if there are any upcoming. I'm not going to say there are. I'm thinking equity is probably still going to try to maintain its own autonomy.
Right.
That just seems to be the way there.
Right. Because, I mean, not only that, I mean, wasn't the big bugaboo with SAG and AFTRA the ways that people could become members? Wasn't mm-hmm. that the sticking point? Now, wouldn't that, if you were drawing equity in, would that also then open that
well, no,
can of worms?
I think, from what I was gathering, the big sticking point was the whole notion that AFTRA was, you know, if a company was negotiating, production companies negotiating with SAG, and SAG was balking on a point, equity or AFTRA would come in and say, well, we'll do it for this.
Mm.
They were kind of lowering the bar on them every time, and SAG just was like, I don't think we can do this and survive. We've got to come together with this. And I think both sides were very smart in coming back. And you're absolutely correct. There probably was a bit of that. As you know, it was fairly easy to get into AFTRA.
Mm-hmm.
You had to kind of go some to get into SAG.
Right.
So, I mean, AFTRA was relatively painless, you know, as far as, you know, the way some other unions, including equity, have to get in. So,
mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's going to be the big thing that they've got is they've got a whole bunch of bugs they've got to work out on things, including, you know, health and pension and stuff like that,
right,
for both those unions. But they've got to kind of, now that the merge is there, they're going to kind of sift through and start, you know, piecemealing, getting done bit by bit.
Mm-hmm.
Until everything's copacetic with both sides.
Right.
But the merge is there, and right, that was the exciting thing for them. Well, like I said, the big thing for equity now is celebrating the 100th. getting through that, and they got the production contract down, so I think they're pretty well satisfied. At least that was the feeling coming in. I've raised some issues, you know, about the idea of, I've noticed there's been several non-union brethren, non-union actors and actresses that have been able, through, you know, getting union contracts here in Tennessee, using Right to Work, to get enough work weeks via the union to actually qualify for health insurance.
Wow.
Which I was kind of surprised by that. But I later, you know, found out from both Rick Berg, the Eastern president, and from Doug Trulson, our former rep down in Florida, down in Orlando, that indeed there is a provision, there is a statute provision that allows for that. I was trying to counter and saying, well, shouldn't, you know, then they have to pay the same, you know, if they get the 20 weeks, they have to pay the same kind of premiums we do. But obviously their contract does not have that, you know, they don't have to pay any kind of dues.
Right.
There's no, you know, annual dues. There's no per show dues, working dues.
Right.
Which I was like, really?
It's all
provision of Right to Work.
Right.
It's all one of those things of, well, you know, you'll get that benefit. You'll get that best pay, you know, you can, regardless of if you're in a union or not.
Right.
So it's been a discussion point.
Well, I mean, I can understand, you know, getting the pay or whatever, but how do they qualify for the?
Well, because they're working under a union contract now. An example at the Children's Theater, everybody has to be under a union contract.
Right.
But they are allowed, if they so choose, to strike the clause. Here in Tennessee, they're allowed to strike the clause that requires them to become members of the union.
Uh-huh.
They can strike that out of the contract, and it can be sent in, and they're not required to join. But by the fact that they are indeed on a union contract, the producer still has to set aside money for their health and pension.
Oh.
And send it into the trust.
Right.
All this, you know, the money is a trust. It's the one thing that... It's kind of rankled producers at one point or another, but it's also very, you know, a very evident thing that it's an all for one kind of thing. All the monies they send in go to a large pool that is, you know, distributed as need be through the system. It's an all for one, one for all kind of system.
Mm-hmm.
Producers, of course, have kind of, you know, looked askance at the idea, you know, thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm sending in 6 weeks worth of health for this actor, but I can't guarantee that money is going to go to them, which
right.
Equity counters, you're right, it's going into a pool.
Right.
Same thing with pension.
Mm-hmm.
It's going into, you know, investments and things that are used to help boost the amounts in there. And then it's drawn from, you know, as needed. So it's a complicated, a little tricky notion there.
Mm-hmm.
But and you know, like I said, one that some producers have like, well, then why do we have to, you know, toss it in for them because they're under a contract?
Right.
As long as it's, you know, as long as it's signed, as long as it's sent to them, that is a contract. They have to send money in for that actor regardless.
Right.
Because of I don't have it on me right now. There is an actual provision in the law that was actually an equal representation provision, but they also use that to counter with health insurance as well.
Hmm.
I found it very interesting. I was very enlightened. wasn't totally happy being an equity actor, but
right.
it's there nonetheless. You know.
Now, is that limited so, just to the healthcare, or could you? Are they
not? I'm believing it also includes pension, but I, you know, so many actors that are be getting that, you know, paying into that probably would not be drawing into it for years, and they probably non-union would probably forget about it at that point.
Right.
As I say, probably about five times there.
Probably. Hopefully. Probably.
So,
in all probability, how's that?
That's there we go. In all likelihood.
Wow. I like that too.
So, how are things shaping up for the Nashville Southeast region this year?
Well, there's been, especially down in Florida, there's been a couple of theater losses. Florida, I want to say Florida Rep and the Caldwell Theater have shut down. Theater in the Square in Marietta, Georgia, has shut down. It's sad, but it seems like a lot of the theaters that are closing the doors now seem to be Equity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's indicative of the union, but I'm also saying it doesn't help.
Right.
there's like interesting restrictions put on, and this is just an example. There's interesting restrictions put on what can be seen or well heard over the Equity hotlines, the various Equity hotlines. They kind of do it regionally. So anything in Nashville obviously gets put on the Nashville hotline, and then they'll determine what else, you know, we are allowed to put on our hotline up in New York. Now, you know, sometimes regionally they're not really cognizant of where we are exactly geographically. For instance, we'll get a lot, and I'm not complaining about it, we get a lot of the theater in Blowing Rock in North Carolina. Uh-huh. We get a lot of notices for them. But we don't get notices for Clarence Brown, which is, you know, about an hour and a half, hour 45, 2 hour trip away.
Right.
But Blowing Rock is a little bit further. We also don't share information with places like Atlanta or Louisville, which I also find kind of interesting and kind of sad at the same time. So there's a crankiness, I think, or maybe just a tri-state centric, and I'm not saying that's wrong, because the majority of members are usually situated in you know, Connecticut, New York, Jersey, in that area.
Right.
In the New York area. But I'm saying it also limits their view. There's maybe, anywhere from 2 to 3 council members that are from an area other than New York. And that includes, like, only, you know, Philadelphia and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one at one time that was down in the South, Margo Moreland, who was up for re-election. I hope she got it, because she's very vocal. She's very aware and focused in on the needs of, you know, the region below the Virginia line, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm hoping she got back on council. We'll find out soon. But there seems to be a little, you know, short-sightedness when it comes to, you know, the areas of the rest of the country. I'm not saying, you know, it's been particularly in the East region. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but it is a thing.
Well, I mean, it's a sense of, you know, I would assume fairness, that it seems like you were saying, it would make sense.
Well, and when you consider that below that line is where most of the right to work provisions are, I would think it would behoove them to, you know, try to encourage, you know, theaters to take the plunge and join Equity regardless.
Right.
Trying to allow them more, you know, more opportunities to use the union and bring us in, rather than saying, oh, well, it's right to work. Let's just kind of back off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put the union in a better light. But equity will have the tendency to pull back from being really hugely political unless it requires it.
Right.
They have the tendency to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my observation in my time in the union. So.
All right. Which is fairly extensive, 20-something years, right? How long have you
been in the union? 27. Out of the 100 Equity's been around, I've been around for a quarter of it. So.
Not that we're saying you're old or anything, but geez.
No, God, no. Me, old?
Yeah. Old, cranky? No way, Brian Webb Russell.
Perish the thought.
Get off my lawn.
I know, yeah. I'm just actually happy to be doing this interview from home. Last couple of times, last time before was down in St. Pete,
right?
And the time before that was up at Horse Cave. I'm like, wow, I'm actually doing this sitting in my own living room.
How nice is that? So,
not nice at all. It means I'm not working.
Well, join the club, right?
I can't say that on a podcast, right?
Yeah, sure, you can say that.
Okay, good.
So, you got anything lined up, or is it after panic time?
It's the waiting for everybody to make their decisions time. Finished up the last of my local auditions here last week with Renee and the Rep for Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
Also auditioned for Jekyll and Hyde and Time Stand Still, which they're no longer doing. I don't know if you caught that email.
No, I didn't.
They pulled that show. I don't know what Renee had said in the email that she had, the original show that she had planned, she was trying to get the rights for and couldn't get at the time of the announcement of the season.
Uh-huh.
They've since gotten the rights for the show. I'm sure during the New Works Lab coming up this week, they'll be announcing what that show is.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's going to delay her call, you know, her announcements for casting or not. What I was gathering is that she's going to get together with Scott and with Matt Logan with Studio 10, and they're going to kind of, you know, plot out things. It's a situation where a lot of overlap in who they want happens, but that may not be good, you know, may not work out for the actor or the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to try to get together a little bit more and decide who's going to go where.
Right.
Which, it's a good thing, but it also means, you know, Matt and Scott have kind of made their decisions already. Their auditions were previous to this.
Right.
So it's kind of all in Renee. And I don't know if the announcement of the new show is going to pull that back a bit. But anyway, that just completed that. I went down to Shakespeare Tavern in Atlanta, went to Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park to audition. I've actually been on my new truck to get, you know, here and there and everywhere.
Oh,
to,
wait a minute.
Audition.
You have a new vehicle?
Didn't you see that?
No, I didn't.
I had to, maybe I didn't tell you. Right as I was heading to St. Pete last year to do Barefoot, my amigo Helen, she decided to drop a fuel pump.
Oof.
Like 2 days before I was to leave.
Yikes.
And my girlfriend Kelly basically looked at me and said, "Okay, you've got the wherewithal to put a deposit or whatever you want on a different vehicle. If you just go and do the patchwork on the Amigo, are you sure you're going to get back?" And I think that was the thing. It was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So I mean, the day before, literally the day before I left last year for Florida, I got a new Kia Sportage. To that used Kia Sportage from a dealer here in town, and I've been very pleased.
Did you get to ride the Ferris wheel?
No, I actually got it at Action Nissan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and got it. You know, I did the thing of actually negotiating for it. I knew I had a kind of a set idea of what I was wanting to pay,
mm-hmm.
without trying to, you know, sell myself with any kind of payments.
Right.
And we got it down to exactly what I, you know, exactly what was on the window. You know, $10,999 was really like, wow, okay. Of course, I could not have done that. I have to give Kelly credit. I could not have done that without her. She is a chief negotiator. I was just like,
yeah, I don't know. It's pretty.
I like it. It sounds good.
Yeah.
You're going to drive it? Yeah, I'll drive it.
Yeah, I still got to have my wife with me, too, when I do that kind of stuff. She's pretty good at that as well.
Oh, Kelly was, you know, just had that car, just looked at me and was like, you know, nodding or shaking her head if something was wrong. I was like, no. I was very thankful to have her there with me.
Maybe that could be her sideline of work. She could be hired out as a negotiator.
I said, you know, the way she was rattling off things about it, it's like, you should sell these. You should sell cars. It's like, I've thought about it at times.
Well, we need a buyer's advocate. Like, you can have a buyer's agent for your house. We need to, Kelly can open a buyer's agent for cars.
Oh, don't even start her on houses. that's the sticking point right now. We've got to get, we're deciding to do that or not. First of all, we're both, in that way, we're both so wishy-washy. We don't know, well, do we want a house? Do we want a townhouse with a condo? Do we want an apartment? Where do we want? We can't even decide where, you know. It's going to be in Nashville, but we don't know where.
Well,
both being real weenies about that. But right now, I've got two things that are in the works. One is in both at the same time, and I've got a big part of it is Renee's decision about Jekyll and Hyde to determine whether I'm going to be doing one or the other. I got the opportunity about September of last year to do Richard III in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, to do Richard in Richard. But at the same time now, and a week earlier, as far as the rehearsal start, I've also got an opportunity to go to Little Rock, back to Arkansas Rep, and do Pistol and some other roles in Henry the Fifth. The bigger role is in Michigan, the bigger salary paycheck is in Arkansas, the more weeks is in Michigan. Unless I got Jekyll and Hyde, then it would dovetail right on top of each other.
Uh-huh.
So it's all a question right now of Renee's decision.
Right.
And there's no prompting people, and they don't want to be prompted. So
right.
Prompted. So I'm kind of putting Bob on hold a little bit in Arkansas. Plan A is definitely Richard. I mean, I've already gotten, you know, the logistics and contracts and everything, contract details and everything, but nothing in writing. So I can still, and it's in a university situation, so I can still easily get someone else if I did take the Arkansas job.
Right.
But right now, that's the only thing on the burner. And it's kind of like, oh, darn. Dang.
Right.
But we're still looking, still hoping that, you know, other things will shape out in the season. So.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I know. I know, we know how it goes. Glamorous life, my...
Yeah, right.
My left eye cheek.
I've had one of the... I'm not going to... I had the worst, not the worst, one of the most interesting kind of rejection emails from an audition, in that I've never been in a place where I've fallen in between two characters. So, obviously I can't be used for either.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think. I know I've done that once or twice. It's getting a lot easier to kind of put me in a box now because of the head. Everybody takes a look at the bald head. It's like, well, you're that now.
Yeah.
Put hair on. I mean, Todd had told me to take a look at Foreigner,
uh-huh.
And they're doing that down in Florida starting up probably within a month or so. And he told me that Matt Chiarini, you know, director who used to be here in Nashville at People's Branch, was going to direct. So I saw Matt last winter when he was doing Sandland and was kind of quizzing him about it. And he kind of looked at me and said, hey, you're a little old for that now, aren't you? It's like, dang, I could put on hair, man. God, not that hard.
Oh, what we do.
It's really quite easy.
Yeah,
but
we're actually. Yeah,
it was going to be my probably my last shot to do Charlie, so I was like, crummy.
Well, thanks so much, man, and keep me posted about stuff that develops either with you professionally or with the union and stuff throughout the year. I'd love to chat more.
I'll do it. Like I said, big stuff, you know, big doings will be announced on the 5th of June for the celebration for the year. So keep on the look on the. Especially the website for that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things they mentioned going back a little bit is that Equity is really making strides to really totally revamp and improve their website. It's going to be some of the things they were announcing are like specific things for individual actors to be able to access specifics, and as opposed to just this group kind of thing that it is now. It's going to, some of the stuff they were talking about really sounds cool.
Nice.
So be on the lookout for that.
We'll do, we'll do. Thank you so much.
Brian, no problem, man.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
So that's it. I'd like to thank Brian Webb Russell for giving us the State of the Union, the annual State of the Union for Equity, as he is our Dumb Show Equity representative. If you have updates or news from your end of equity, whether it be different regions or different scales or contracts or whatever, you've got some updates to share, please call 615-866-1282, or you can put it in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter. Send me a direct message, InexplicableDS. Hey, next week. I don't know. We'll see what we'll see. Hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.